socks or no socks and spikes, bro.
You know what? I really liked that reel you created. But I've been on both sides, to be honest. Like, there was a time where to me, the opinion is it depends on the spike. It depends on the spike. I've had my victories back in the day when those were the shoe with the hole in the back. Those were strictly no socks. But even during that time, I'm gonna say socks because I wanted some more style. I do it for the style points, my swagger. I used to wear Elite socks in high school. I had socks on the back where it said, "Got 'em, coach." You know what I mean? That's why I'm gonna say socks, but it depends on the spike. Some spikes will just cut you up.
Bro, it's socks. It's just socks. I think the main thing is I'm like, it is kind of, I don't know if it's exactly musty. It is kind of nasty though. I think definitely if you're running over 400 meters, I think it's, you're kind of, well, if you're running an 8, I could see. But yeah, for me, it's always been socks too. Cause I feel like socks always shown a little bit of personality. Like I was wearing your socks for a little bit, the Gaum Coach socks. And then I was wearing either my Ninja Turtle socks, or I was wearing my Batman socks, or I was wearing my Cyborg socks. So like I went through a phase of wearing like all type of, like, it was always a little bit of flavor on the end of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I done no socks too though. No socks, if you have the right spikes, it feels amazing under the foot. Like, because I like to wear my spikes really tight. So let's say I'm a 12 and a half, I'm gonna wear 11 and a half. So the spike is completely like engulfing my foot and it just feels like the plate is right there attached. I like that feeling too.
I knew that this was like a hot topic in running, but like people really took this personal. Like this is,
I know,
like,
I didn't expect that either.
Like I knew it was a hot topic and I knew that like people, like it was gonna get people going, but I'm like, dang, it really got people going. Like people were going in there. Some dude commented on it under the page, and he was all like, what did he say? He said, "I looked at all the world record holders and only one of them wears socks, Joshua Cheptegei. Everyone else wears no socks." I was like, what? This man searched through everybody.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I don't know. That sounds like cap. Like, but like, hey, the man said he did it. Another person was all like, this is why Christian Coleman lost to Noah Lyles at the US indoors. Said, "Kids, you should all know that to wear no socks." I was like, dang, bro, what? Christian Coleman, big sock guy.
I don't think socks affect performance that much, but I don't even know what Noah was wearing. You didn't get to ask Noah, I guess, huh?
No, he wasn't there. I don't think he wears socks though. I remember at Prefontaine, he was walking around with no socks on after the meet. So I don't need to wear socks. But let's go into it. I'm Joshua Potts, Mr. Possible, always with the brother with the same mother, Air Pods, Super Hot Pots. And you're watching and listening to your favorite Two Black Brothers every single
Two Black Thursday. Wait, are we still on Thursday?
Yeah, it's on Thursday.
Thursday! I said to switch it up right in the middle for y'all, because it's a special edition Two Black Runners episode, man.
Honestly, I guess we didn't have to do that because this is Running Report. So like we really didn't have to do that. I hope you forgot, to be honest.
I know, I was surprised. I was surprised when you did that. That's why I was like, okay, I'll hit it though.
My bad, but I don't know. That's just the fact of it. This is a chill one, kind of like for the real ones as well. And we're just going through. Track has been insane. We missed y'all last week. Me recovering from Melrose Games. Aaron was busy doing all the type of things that he be doing. So like we missed y'all. Of like a whole bunch of world records went down. A whole bunch of competitive races. A lot of track news to really talk about. So we're gonna give y'all a little bit of Running Report here on this Thursday. But before we get there, Aaron, there's a big race coming up. Southern California. Like, everyone's gonna be there. Everyone's gonna be watching. I'm not talking about the 10 on March 16th, the greatest day ever. I'm talking about March 17th, You feel me? March 17th, the LA Marathon, coming in, weighing in at 120 pounds wet. Aaron Potts is going to be out there on the line.
That is not me. I am not 120, bro. I would be, shoot, I would be looking crazy if I was 120.
But you will be racing your marathon pretty much a month, a little less than a month from today, bro. How's the preparation going?
I'm going to be honest, bro. It's not going good right now.
Oh, shoot.
It is not doing good right now. So like Joshua said, last week, we didn't record because I was just coming back from the Olympic trials. And I got sick. I got sick during the Olympic. Going into the Olympic trials, I was starting to feel like I might have a foot injury. But I was in really good shape. Did a 60-minute cut down where, like, you know, I was able to get down to like 5:30. I was doing good. I was like, man, I'm low-key might have to run track this year. Shoot. By the same time, I knew I was about to be injured low-key. So I was like, oh, I'm gonna go to the trials. You know, I'm not gonna run. Like, it'll be a down week. Had a great time at the trials, hanging out with people, staying up late, and I got sick. So that took me out. You know, basically took a week off of running. Last week was the first week back, and did one workout. Didn't really run much mileage. Didn't really get a long run in, but I think I'm gonna be able to make it to the line. You know what I'm saying? I'm just holding on to fitness right now. Gotta really focus in on these last 3 weeks. This is a major week right now. These next 2 weeks are major.
Are you nervous, bro? Are you nervous? Like, things haven't been going the way that you wanted to. It seemed like fully confident if I would have been talking to you 3 weeks ago, but fast forward three and I don't know. You feel kind of nervous right now or just uneasy?
I guess maybe I might just be weird, but nah, I'm not nervous at all, to be honest. Like, you know, I'm just adjusting. I don't have expectations or goals for myself, like, or maybe I'm underestimating the marathon, but I'm just adjusting my goal to just be under 3 hours now, which I don't want to sound like I'm being cocky or nothing, but you know, I've been running for almost 20 years. So, but I've been training since like I was like 10, bro. I'm 29. That's pretty crazy. So I feel like I'm gonna be able to figure it out. I know I can complete the distance, but no, I do need to make sure that I'm just on top of myself these next couple of weeks and make sure I get in some long runs and some decent hard efforts, but I think I'm gonna be okay. I think I'm gonna be fine.
Bro, I think when's the next time we're traveling? Once I'm back home, we'll probably pre-Fontaine. I think you just got to stay in the house, bro. Not even gonna cap. I don't think you can go out. I feel like every single time we go somewhere and you go out, bro, you get sick.
Like, I'm just getting old, bro. That's what happened. That's what I was telling Emma. I was like, bro,
I think you got a weak immune system, bro.
It's weak when you're out late. You can weaken your immune system. We'll talk to Joe Holder about that. But yeah, it's just getting older, bro. Like traveling, talking to people, it's just a lot on your body.
Maybe you gotta wear a mask, bro.
It's like when you're working the entire time, there's no time off. Like, you know, you're working, you're going out, like it's a lot. It's just gonna be a lot on your body. So you just have to be weary. But I think I'm gonna be okay. I'm not even gonna cap. I think I'm gonna be good.
All right, man. 3 hours, breaking 3 hours pending for Aaron. It's gonna be exciting to see you break that barrier. I think over the past, well, when I was at Milrose 2 weeks ago, saw a lot of barriers be broken across the board. It was insane. That was my first Milrose Games. Incredible experience. I was hosted the press conference. That was really dope to be able to do that. And really, it was cool. It was cool. And it was really just like a podcast, honestly. Like me and you, we've done about four live podcasts. 10 Man, We did two for Hoka, and we did the one with Marco Cizzetto. So we done four live podcasts, and it was basically the exact same thing, just more pros this time. And yeah, it was really fun. People enjoyed it. Thought it was a good time. And then we did some interviews and stuff on Saturday, the day of the meet. I don't really feel like I experienced Millrose the way I wanted to, or didn't have the questions for everybody set up. But like overall, I think the content coming from it was great. The socks, no socks did really well. The blind ranking did good, and the whole team performed well for the social media team. So that was really a really fun
what's
experience.
One thing, like, what's yeah. one thing about the Millrose experience, I guess, that you didn't expect or that you learned or something?
I didn't expect. I didn't know we had to dress up. That's one thing I did not know. I did not know we had to dress up for the Millrose Games. If I don't know, I would have brought out like a suit or something. You feel me? I had to go buy some slacks from H&M. You know, they gave me like this bow tie and we figured it out. But I did not know we had to dress up and be like, you feel me, like formal for this. You know what I mean? Like there's a certain level of prestige when you're at the Millrose Games. And I think that helps people perform well on all ends. You feel me? And
so does it feel like, what does it feel? What is the feeling like for Millrose? I mean, just you were there for the lead up and things like that, but how does it compare to a championship race or a Diamond League race?
I think the closest comparison is Prefontaine. I think like it doesn't feel like Mount Sac. It doesn't really feel like the 10 or anything like that, but it almost seems like if Prefontaine was like the first race of people's season, like that's exactly how it would feel. It's like a fun atmosphere. Most of those people are from America, or like most of those people are from America. So like they're competing domestically. So it's just really like a nice trip, to be honest. And like, I don't have to go far, get to compete against the home fans, compete against in front of the home fans against like great competition. Or it's like people coming to Prefontaine or Hayward for the first time, and they're all like, this is such a beautiful stadium. People coming to the Armory, coming to the New York for the very first time has just about even more history, you know, going back to like 19, I think the first Millrose Games was like 1904 or something like that, like something crazy. So yeah, like the history of it all, just New York City is definitely has more history than Eugene, Oregon. You feel me? So, yeah, it's like you could feel the history, I think, for sure. And just the importance, like Seb Coe was out there. Seb Coe was out, you know, but Seb Coe, Lord Seb Coe, let me get it right. You feel me? I didn't meet him though, but Lord Seb Coe was out there, you feel me, doing his thing as he should.
That's the president of World Athletics for everybody. Yeah.
If y'all didn't know, but the meet started off strong, bro. Tevin Charlton went out there, ran a 7.67 in 60 meter hurdles. No one knew this was happening. Like when she ran that, I was all like, oh, dang, that's kind of fast. And then I was like, wait, how fast is that? And then they said world record. I was like, oh, it's that fast. She ran that 7.67. It really blew by everybody. That was, yeah, no one was surprised by that. Everyone was surprised by that. And then I think it was even more surprising to see Tia Jones the next week match that world record with a 7.67 in Albuquerque, New Mexico at the U.S. Indoor Championships. Honestly, Aaron, I'm just thinking about the previous 60 meter hurdle world record, and I'm like Philip Rocha, soft record. Like that's what it was. That's what I'm thinking at this point. The record was soft.
I mean, shoot, I don't know too much about the 60 meter hurdles, honestly, and the world record, but I do know that women have been running fast in the 100 meter hurdles outdoor. We saw the world record go down just this last year too. And every year, whether it's Tia, you know, we're talking about Tia and Devin, but there's just so many women in the 100 meter hurdles that are battling it out that we get to see during outdoors. So it's not that surprising that someone broke a world record, I would say, but it's just interesting to see how is this going to translate for Devin and Tia going into outdoors. Are they going to be able to compete with Armstrong, you know? Are they going to be able to compete with Puerto Rico?
Did you mean to say Amusan?
Say who?
Did you mean to say Amusan? Toby Amusan? When you
said Amusan. No. Amusan or homie from Jasmine, LSU.
Like
I'm
Jasmine
sorry,
Camacho,
bro.
Camacho Quinn. Oh, Aaliyah.
Yeah, I'm talking about Aaliyah, Jasmine Camacho, Camacho Quinn. Like, there's so many different. Yeah, like, she's one of those ones up there, though, competing.
She's the young ones.
From lane one to eight in the hurdles, it seems like it could be a different person making
it's
the
anybody,
team.
But even when you get to the world championship stage, like, anyone can win the race at the end of the day once you line up. Like, even if Jasmine Camacho Quinn is dominating, like, you obviously, anyone can win the race. Danielle Williams can come out of nowhere and win that race. I think this really, from Tia Jones' perspective, somebody that came out of high school, I believe, same year that I did, I think in 2018 or maybe a year after 2019. But I think she's a great example. Someone that we're going to get to and we should talk about for a second too is Hobbs Kessler. He's a great example too of just like very similar to like a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander or Tyrese Maxey in the NBA. Like, we're seeing a lot of these people in the NBA that are really young coming into the league and people expect them to perform right away. And they expect that same thing from these high school athletes sometimes that skip college and go straight to pro. But Tia Jones is someone that's like, she's only like 23 years old and now she's getting it done. You know what I mean? It took like 2 or 3 years to really make everything start working. But it's all like, obviously she's still very, very young in her career and she's doing great for herself. Like, this is going to be a breakout year for her. I believe she was like fourth or fifth at USA's last year. Like, she's ready to go. And it's someone like Devin Charlton, who's also young. She got fourth last year at the World Championships. She's on a roll. And I wouldn't be surprised if she medals this year at the Olympics. But like you said, anybody can win once you line up. It's just who has that perfect race on that day. And that's where it comes down to for that race. I don't think it's the same for the men's 60-meter hurdles, though, because Grant Holloway,
you don't lose.
Until it happens, like, he's not losing. 7.27 breaks his world record. Like, can we put this man on the 4x1 now? Like,
he got time. I mean, he got this event on lock, right? So
yeah,
let's let him do some other stuff.
Like, he obviously could do. Let him do something else, bro. He got the 100 hurdles. You know, you feel me? He sometimes 100 hurdles, like you said, like you never know what's gonna happen to hurdles. But like, this dude got it on lock. Like, let him do something else. Let him do the 4x4 at Worlds indoors. Like, let him do something. You know what I mean? Like, let him just mix it up.
That would be super. That'd be cool for sure. But I think, last Olympics, he's not the Olympic champion, though.
No, he's not.
The Olympic champion.
That's like the only thing he doesn't have.
Yeah. So this is a big year for him. This is a big year for him. You know, he really wants that gold. And I mean, he's poised to make that happen. Unless like Cordell rolls up on him, Devin Allen recovers from this ACL injury, or I'm really just thinking Americans.
Daniel Roberts too. And
Daniel Roberts.
But we'll see how Hansel Parchment looks. Omar McLeod is on his comeback at the moment as well. But
that world record in Olympic gold in this year would solidify greatest of all time. I mean, he's already basically there. He's
60-meter
right
hurdle.
Below.
He's GOAT. 60-meter hurdle. Yeah. I don't think he's the greatest. Hasn't lost in how many years? Not going to lose anytime soon. It really looks like no one's close to him. We're watching the greatest ever, and we gotta like appreciate that at this moment. And he's entertaining, super entertaining. I gotta watch.
Yeah, bring some more attention to the hurdles, man.
Somebody that I feel like is really sneaking under everything, like under the radar. Leslie Tobago out of Botswana ran outdoors a 300 meter this past week and was like really just overwhelming me of just all the world records that are going down. Leslie Tobago runs a 30:69, breaking Wade Van Niekerk's world record, world best, whatever you want to call it. I don't really know what this means, 30:69, but like, this dude is...
He's strong. He fit. That means he's strong.
Is he the one that's going to take down Noah Lyles?
I think he has the talent. What about Arion Knighting? He ran like 20.2 or something. But
yeah,
it will be interesting to see. Tobago looked good in the 100 last year too. To be honest, he looked good in both the 1 and the 2. So, and Arion Knighting, if you haven't seen him, he ran at an indoor meet in Europe. I'm not 100% sure. I think it was 20.27 or something.
20.21.
But he looks more mature. His body has matured. He grew into it a little more. He looks a little stronger. And that's what's interesting with Arion Knighting and Tobago is how close are they going to be to Noah? Because to me right now, we're seeing prime Noah. Like, he got his 60 down where he's able to beat someone like Christian Coleman. He won in that 100. I feel like Noah is getting closer to the Bolt level of the reality of the record of him being Usain Bolt is like starting to set in. It's getting a little bit closer. And it's cool that we have these young guys like Tobago and Arion Knighting who are under 22 years old who can possibly challenge him. That's not to say we can't forget about Christian Coleman and forget about like Fred Curley and Trayvon and those guys, but I think these dudes are right there, bro. Like, it'll be interesting.
So look at this, Aaron. Tobago, 100-meter PR, 9.88. He did that at World Championships to finish second place right behind Noah Lyles. He also finished second. He finished third place in the 200. I believe he ran like 9.19.7 something. But his PR is 19.50 from last year as well. And now he has this 300-meter PR of 30.69. I don't know, bro. I don't know. I feel like this is something that could be made an argument of the guy that can really bring down Noah Lyles. I was talking to Robert Hooper, you feel me? And that analogy that I was saying that this dude, Noah Lyles, the anime character, this man was telling me at Melrose that like Noah Lyles, he has plot armor right now. Like he can't lose. Like he's like Goku cannot lose in Dragon Ball Z. Naruto can't lose in Naruto. Like,
yeah,
Luffy can't lose in One Piece. Like right now, Noah Lyles cannot lose in his own manga or anime show. But I don't know. I feel like Wesley Tobago, he may be Cell.
Mm.
He could be Cell.
And but if he Cell, you know who Gohan is then? Arion Knighting. Yes, that's Gohan. That's Gohan. We're getting deep into the anime. But I agree with you though.
Justin Gatlin Piccolo.
Justin, he started off on the dark side.
Justin Gatlin's I don't know. He was like helping out Arion. I don't know. Okay, go ahead. My bad.
I don't know where you're going with that, but I agree with you on like he has plot armor. It definitely just feels like, I mean, I just feels like right now this is his time. It just feels like he's really hitting his stride physically and mentally. And he knows exactly all of the work that he's put in. It just feels like it's finally starting to come to fruition into light. And like, how old is Noah? 26? What, 27? But he's been pro since
20. He's like same age as David. So yeah, I think 26.
Yeah, and he went straight pro out of high school. So he's been at this. He's still very young, but he's been at this for some time. So he's used to like the nerves and all of the mental stress that comes through it. And it just feels like he's really worked on his game. Whereas these other guys, they're just starting to get at it. So if they were to beat him, that'd be crazy.
Yeah, but I think that's what makes it so exciting, especially for Tobago to do this, to run this 36.9, because I think for me at least, but I think for the wider audience, we'll see when outdoor season comes, but I think this 36.9 is going to let me I think this makes me realize that, like, okay, there's somebody that can actually beat him in this 200. Because even though Noah's ran faster than that, 1950 is very fast. To be able to have that strength or to know that he can run that 30-69 now, I don't know if he can beat him in the, I don't, maybe it's the 100. This Leslie Tobago is, he's like, I don't know. You want to talk about that 100 race, or you want to talk about that 60 race a little bit, the Christian Coleman? Or,
I mean, I kind of talked about it, but
because,
yeah, what you thinking about it? What do you think about that? What do you think about him beating Coleman?
I think it's a big deal. You feel me? I wouldn't be surprised if Christian Coleman beat him at Worlds. You know, that's what I think I'm most excited about. Like, how is Christian Coleman going to respond now? Because I think Christian Coleman is like, he's still, I think, probably the best starter ever. He has the best start. And I think he didn't run a bad race in Albuquerque. Like, Noah just ran a better one. His acceleration has gotten next level. Like, his start's still not great, but the way that he accelerates is...
His start is good enough now.
Yeah, it's good enough. And he's just there. He's there in the race anytime. Like, so it's just... It's Noah Lyles, like you said. It's like it's his time, but you have to be on your A game to beat him. You can't be on A minus. You got to be on A.
Yeah. No, I think it's a big deal too, and it's a bigger deal if he becomes a world champion, because this is not an event that he's best at. You know what I mean? And the fact that he can win in an event that's not his baby or whatever, like how he calls it, you know. That's huge. The fact that it just feels like, to me, it's just been building blocks, bro. This dude has just been putting on building blocks into his training, working on different things for years now. And I already said this, but it feels like it just came together. And that's why it's even more impressive to me that he was able to be, you know, it wasn't the world championships, but the fact that he was able to beat Christian just shows me, it's like, dang, that means it's going to be just that much harder for Christian to beat him. It's like, dog, this is like, you're the world record holder in this event, and he got you. So there's some things definitely, Stark could get better. I mean, his start is amazing. How much more could it get better? But he has to get stronger, I guess, at the end of his race to counter the acceleration that Noah has. But right now, I guess the question is, what's more impressive, Noah beating Christian or Tobago running that 30.69? Because that's basically what you're looking at comparing the two. It's like, okay, this guy went and he did some work, he got some strength, like he just ran a world record. Dude, this guy who is known for not having the greatest start now is beating the guy with the world record in the 60. And that's really what we're looking at.
It's crazy that you're like, I'm gonna say Noah Lyles, but it's crazy that I'm saying that because Tobago's 20 years old.
Now that's stupid.
He's 20 years old.
That's stupid.
The man was born in 2003. He's 20 years old.
Right. 2003. That's crazy.
And he ran 36.9 for 300 meters, but I'm gonna say Noah Lyles because like his start is better. His start is so much better. And that means that he can run a faster 100 meters now. And he has the confidence. There's, until he gets knocked off, who's more confident than this man right now? I put on Greg my Hurley. Threads. I was like, I commented, this man's a track and field rock star. The way that he's walking into meets, the way that he's trying to put on for track and field, he feels like he is the spokesperson for track and field at this moment. And it may seem behind the scenes like a weight, but at least in front of the camera, that would be a great question to ask Noah, probably on a podcast.
It's not, don't ask him that. Trust me, I ask him stuff like that all the time. Like, oh, he's like, I've been the guy. Like, he's tired of being asked that question. Like,
no, but just
to be honest.
But I'm talking about the outside pressures of just like everything. Cause he is like, but he has been the guy. But like, he carries that well. And like, he wants to carry that. He wants to be the LeBron James. He wants to be Tom Brady. Like,
he is that.
To be the face. And like, he doesn't crumble under that.
I don't think he will. Like, that really does, like I said, what I talked about the other week, the spirit bomb thing that he does. Like, he's really absorbing the energy. He's a highly extreme extrovert, bro. Like, he gets energy from other people. Like, I don't know. I don't think that doesn't shake him at all. Like, the pressure, I don't think he sees it as pressure. He just really knows how to turn it into fuel. So that makes it even more dangerous to me, bro. Like, he gonna walk into a stadium and put his hands up, and he gonna really suck energy out of the air from everyone's spirit, you know, that's rooting for him. He really does that. That's scary.
That's kind of terrifying. That's kind of terrifying. All right, so I don't know what else we could talk about, but we can't talk about this because this is kind of crazy. And I think it's also something not being talked about enough. Femke Bol breaking the world record, her own world record in the 400 meter, 49.24. There's now some talks about her being, because she'd be the first ever woman to break 49 indoors in the 400 meters. I want to see Sydney run an indoor 400.
Yo, low-key, this is pretty interesting to me that she ran 49.2. Like, I'm like, I know last year, you know, we were like, okay, chill out, y'all. Chill out on the film cut. Like, you know, that's Sydney right there. Like, y'all gotta chill. Uh-huh. But I saw that 49.2, and I'm like, hey, man, she only getting better, bro. You know?
True.
And what is she going? Is she going to run the four? Is she going to be like, I'm going to follow Sydney? Like, no, bro, you're not getting away from me. Like, I want the smoke.
That would be hilarious.
Can she beat Sydney in a 400, in an open four? Who's going to win, Sydney or Femke?
It's a battle. At this point, like, it's a battle for sure. But I think what's really interesting too is to see, I don't really know how to pronounce her name, but to see her country, this girl also from her country, Klaver, Leaky Klaver from Netherlands, finished right behind her in that 50-10. And we've seen how they ran in that mixed relay. They're going to have a very competitive 4x4 and mixed relay again at the Olympics, and they're getting better and better and better. That time that Klaver ran was faster than Alexis Holmes ran that 53.4 to win the USA Championships. And you've seen the gap that she had on Talitha Diggs and the rest of the field at USA. So Netherlands, the level of competition, like, Femke is raising the level of competition and the level of just everybody for the Netherlands at this moment. And it's really crazy to see. But yeah, Femke, she's a beast. And I hope we get a healthy Sydney McLaughlin Lavroni to go up right against her, because Sydney, this is the thing. Sydney either needs to come out and remind us, like, she needs to remind us, like, who she really is. I just want everybody, we want everyone to showcase that. Sydney McLaughlin Lavroni, do your thing. But then it's also saying you need to come out here for Femke to come out and make her mark and, like, make sure she does these things and, like, nobody can have any question about what happens. Because I don't want Femke to break the world record, Sydney McLaughlin Lavroni not be there, and then people being all like, well, Sydney wasn't in the race. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but
I just pray that happens. They get in the same race.
I think it'll happen in due time. I'm just, you know, I was talking to myself, I wasn't putting respect on Femke last year. I was one of those people, but I got to put respect on her name. She's still out here continuing to break records. I think it is possible for her to break 49 low key. That would be insane.
So that's going to be a really good rivalry for the next couple years. I think probably the best rivalry we got in the sport right now. And we can close out on this, unless you got something else, Aaron. Josh Kerr, Jakob Ingebrigtsen. Josh Kerr just came out here, ran 8:67, broke the world record. Shout out Grant Fisher getting the American record at the 12:51 last week indoors. But Josh Kerr, he's all the talk. He's all the rage. He's going to Glasgow now to run the 3,000 meter. He's going to be facing up against Yard and the Goose. It's going to be exciting. But this dude, Jakob Ingebrigtsen, talking about he could beat this man with a blindfold on.
That boy's funny, bro. You know what? Jakob, I used to like low key be hating on you on this podcast. I feel like, bro, but that dude, I like that dude. That dude is funny. Like he's just a cool guy. Talking. Yeah, he's a cool guy. He funny, bro. Bro, but I don't know. He making the rivalry more silly because he's just saying random stuff. Come on, bro. What does a blindfold have to do with running fast? You just can't see where you're going. Like, you know what I mean? I don't even know. Like, what?
I feel like that's something. We have a lot of NBA references today, but I feel like that's something Jokic would say.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But I like that he's feeding into it. I like that he feeds into it a little bit, takes little jabs. I wonder how Josh feels about it. I wonder if Josh is annoyed about it, or if he, I don't know. It's just hard to tell if this trash talk is real.
No, I think it's real. I think it's real. I think Josh is kind of annoyed by it. Because like all of it, it is just like, it's very like, some of the stuff is like passive aggressive, or just like, they're not even trying to come off like that. But like, it really is like, bro, why are you saying that? It's just like, but they're also playing into it and just trying to hype up the sport and calling your shot is just like, they want to one up each other. It's like they all want to one up each other from Josh to Jakob to even to everybody besides like Yard. Like Yard's like the only one that really does not care. He said he doesn't like rivalries at all. So like he's the only one that doesn't really care. So, but I'm really excited to see these guys finally meet up in face. I wish Jakob was running indoor, but yeah, that Achilles injury. So we're just gonna have to wait a little bit longer.
Bro, are we seeing the world record go down soon in the 15? The 15?
Oh,
the,
yeah.
On the men's side, the 1500 is starting to look closer. I don't know. I guess it's looking closer to like the women. When I say that, I mean it's like, yeah, world records are in talks. Everyone thought it was gonna be Jakob last year, but I mean, I was continuing to tell you all that. It's hard to get, he's gonna have to go like 325, but like I was telling y'all, he's beatable. There's other people who are just as good at him. And that's what him, Josh breaking the world record again, shows us. It's like, yo, like Jakob is amazing. He's so good, you know, but Josh Kerr is the same level of athlete as him. He can beat him.
I think Jakob's still gonna be the one to break the world record.
But Yard is just as good as both of them as well. Cole ran 805 in that race. I don't know. I think Josh Kerr is 26 and Jakob, I believe, is 23. I think he's the same. Yeah.
He's same age as me.
Oh, he a Virgo? Okay. Hey. But no, his birthday is he's 23. Cole, I'm guessing. I think Cole is probably 22. Yard is 22?
No, I think it's 24, maybe.
24. So we're going to see these guys racing up against each other for the next, this Olympics and the next World Championships. After that, you know, they're going to be a year or two older. We got some, I mean, they'll all make it to LA. They'll make it to LA. Josh will be closer to 30, but I think he'll still be good, bro. Like, this is... There's the world record's gonna be broken in the next 4 years.
I still think it's gonna be Jakob, but I don't know if he can win. I don't know if he can win, if he's gonna win gold this year. I think he's gonna break the world record, but I don't know if he can win gold. Until he does it, like I can't in the 5K, I guess I could say he's gonna win gold or like he's gonna be in that conversation to win. But in the 15, it's just he needs a different tactic or something. Like, cause The anything could happen in the 15 to him. He seems more comfortable when he runs the 5K. When it gets to those race time situations in the 5K, he is very comfortable. In the 15, like last 250, he is not that comfortable. And it's like, we gotta figure this out, Jakob, if you're gonna make this happen. But
I believe he won in Tokyo, though. I mean, yes, during the COVID year.
So he can't perform when fans are there. Come on, Jakob.
he won during the COVID year, so he could become a double Olympic champion with the number like 2 or 3 fastest time in the 15. It's just that double, bro. That double is really tough to be able. But to have back-to-back world championships where you got silver silver in the 15 and gold in the 5K. I mean, that's pretty impressive. And then you have a gold and 2020 Olympics. He's building up a pretty great resume with these records that he has, but competition's rising with him.
No, because I think, like you said, like him winning that gold in Tokyo, I think pretty sure after if he go back to Tokyo, I bet there's people saying hot takes after that happened. Oh yeah, Jakob's not gonna lose the next two world championships. Like this is his event for the next 3 years. And then for him to lose both years straight in a row, second place, exactly, looks like you put them side by side and the same thing happens twice. It's like it really just shows the level of competition rising, but then also just how competitive the 1500 meter is and just anything can happen. I still think he does look more comfortable when he runs the 5K anyways. I think that's going to, but that's just, it's going to be interesting. He's going to have a long career and his greatness can't be, even if he gets second this year, like, I don't think his greatness and what he's done in the sport already is not going to be diminished, but it's just the fact of Josh Kerr is a beast too. He's a world caliber guy. I seen him in an interview. He was talking to, I believe it was the Taylor, and talking about, or it was the T, just saying that this is his first world record, you know? And like, I think for me, that really clicked into my head. Like, oh, like Josh is on that level now, you know? Like it kind of solidifies this world record and him calling him shot doing it solidifies that like what happened at Worlds wasn't just like, oh, like, a really good race. Like, nah, this man is the world record holder or world best holder in the 2 mile indoors. Like,
he's an Olympics or world. He got silver. Oh,
he's Olympic bronze medalist as well.
Bronze medalist. Yeah.
I think this just more solidifies that, like, he's one of the greatest to ever do this. You know what I mean? And I don't think people are really looking at it in that way. But after this, you can firmly step away and be all like, oh, Josh Kerr, like, he's one of the greatest to ever step on the foot of a track. Step on a track. I don't say why I said the foot. He is. You can't deny that.
100%. And this is a big, I think, like I said, this is a big year for the 15 on the men's. Like, you know, the story that will be told, a lot of legacy on the line when you really think about it. If Kerr was to win versus Jakob versus Yared versus, you know,
Hobbs Kessler,
you know, versus white men, you know, it's going to be,
I want to,
like,
see,
imagine if white men beats them again, or Josh beats them again. Like, then we're talking about, you know, the British is back in the golden age. Like when they had Seb Coe and Steve Ovett battling, like, we're back at that. We kind of are right there right now.
You think we can get three Americans in this 1500 meter final? Cole, so. Yared, and Hobbs, or maybe Cole, Yared, and Cooper, or Cole, Yared, and someone else?
Craig,
or...
bro. Craig.
Craig Engels?
Yeah. Don't wait.
Craig has been grinding this year.
Bro, he has. We got to do something with him. He's in San Luis Obispo right now, so he's like right above me. But
I think the really cool thing about seeing Craig do that, but like the fact of like back in 2021 when we first went to pre, like I felt like this dude was almost out of the sport, and like now he's like having fun, chilling, and like really
he's focused though.
Yeah, like locked in. Like, but it seems like he's having like a good time doing his videos and everything. And like dang, let's go, bro. That'd be hey, Craig. Centro?
That's where I stop. That's where I draw the line. No, I'm just kidding. No, that would be cool. That would be cool if it was Centro. But I don't know. But yeah, it would be crazy. Back to what I was saying about legacy. If someone like Centro made the team and made it to the final. But I definitely think we can have... I see Cooper and Yard. I see Yard and Cole both in that final. And I think, yeah, I feel like Cole's been banged up a lot too the past couple of years, like at points in the season. So if he just stays healthy, I mean, 805 2 mile, that's, you know, that's,
yeah, I was thinking that before USA's, I was kind of thinking like, oh, Hobbs may beat this dude. But then I was thinking more about the 805 and I was like, nah, he's too strong, bro.
Yeah,
he's way too strong for Hobbs at this moment. And he, like, he firmly showed that in that race, that, like, he firmly showed in that race, like, yeah, bro, I did win the Olympic trials, like, when I was at Oregon in 2021. Like, let's not, like, I know how to race championship races. Like,
he's just as good as Yari.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. What did he run at?
Which is a lot. That's saying a lot right there, because Yard is just as good as Jacob. That's what I mean.
Because, hold up. Before we close out of here, what is Cole's 1,500-meter PR is 330.
I'm pretty sure.
His Bowerman, his mile PR is 348, and he ran that at Prefontaine. Yeah, he runs 348, bro. Wait, hold on.
Yeah,
wait,
they
wait.
Ran fast that day, bro.
Wait.
Almost broke the road record that day.
No, wait.
That was a day.
What did Nico Young run? I'm sorry, I'm bouncing all over the place.
What did he run recently? Are you saying?
He ran that crazy race. And he ran
like 351 or something.
It converted to 348 though, no? Or my trip.
The altitude one when he broke four?
Yeah.
It may have something like that. I'm not sure.
Dang. That's wild. Okay. That's pretty
It is going to be, but now that you're bringing up Nico Young,
357.
This is really a track heads episode for everyone that's super into track. But now that you're bringing it up, Nico Young, after we just named all of these amazing, like, younger athletes on the middle distance side, it's going to be crazy to see where Nico fits into all of that. He's really not that far off in age. Like, are we going to see Nico Young on the world stage this year? And what is that going to look like?
I think it would be an enormous accomplishment because, yeah, a lot of these guys are young, but a lot of them have that world experience, and Nico doesn't have any of that. So for him to do that would really, like, because for him to even do that in the 5K, like, he would have to beat
Cooper,
like, Grant, Cooper, Woody, Abdi Hamid, Sean McGordy, like, the list. Paul Chelimo, maybe, like, he would have to beat somebody, like.
But he trains with Woody. He trains with Abdi Hamid.
True.
They're on a different schedule, though. Like, but he trains with them, so I feel like
there's no way a college kid makes it. I'm sorry, that would be crazy.
But is he racing? Is Nico racing the 10? Is he on that start list?
I don't think so. I don't think he's in on 10. Because that would be right after. I don't know what he's doing at NCAAs, but that would be like 2 weeks. Oh, that would be a week after NCAAs. He could be, though, but I don't think he is. I could check real quick. Let me check real quick, and then we'll get off this podcast.
But, yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot to think about. And honestly, I haven't really been, like, super hyped about indoors. Like, I was in and out of USA's. Kind of excited for world indoors to see some things. But I'm really just ready for outdoors and the trials and the Olympics. You know, this still feels like preseason.
No, yeah, it does. World indoors is going to be lit. I think 3,000 between Yard versus Yard and Homeboy and Josh Kerr is going to be, like, the most exciting. I'm excited to see how Hobbs and Cole do. Nico's 9-10. And I'm excited to see if Noah Lyles can get a world championship in the 60. And then plus to see how Ellie performs in the 3,000. Because I think it's crazy to see how great she is at this moment and hasn't missed a beat. Yeah.
Shoot. What's your 15? Yeah. I'm wondering what the women's 15 side too. I'm like,
no, that I was thinking, bro. I'm all like, can Nikki lose? Like, is there, I don't know, because Ellie's beast right now. But when Ellie lines up against Nikki in the 1500, maybe we see that at Prefontaine, hopefully.
Well,
or
I'm just
a mile. Like, who's gonna win?
What about Caitlin? What about Caitlin Tui? I want to see what her pro debut and what's that gonna look like and what event is she focused on. Is she focused on the 15? She focused on the 5.
I think if there's any college person, any college distance that makes it on the team, Parker Bobby.
In the 5K.
Yeah. If there's anybody, it's Parker Bobby.
Carissa, Elise. Is Alicia Munson going to run the 5? I guess.
Oh, yeah, she's doing the 5 and the 10. But it's also hard. It's hard. Yeah. It's a hard team to make. But if there's anybody that's going to do it, I think it's going to be Parker Ball. That's a hard team to make.
You don't think Caitlin Tui, though, in the 15 or the 5K? We haven't seen her run yet, but she's pro now. So she's gearing up for the Olympics.
But now we got, like, Addie Wiley, who's getting even more experience on the world stage.
But she's going to run the, yeah.
She's gonna run,
she gonna run the 15 or the 8? You're probably gonna run the 15.
She's gonna run the 15.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. That's gonna be pretty competitive as well. But I got Nikki and Ellie both making it. But I think the third
who will win
spot,
that race though? That's the question. Who will win?
I'm putting my money on Nikki.
We'll see. We'll see. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be exciting. Dang, this was only supposed to be like 30 minutes. It lasted 40 minutes. This was definitely for the track heads as we just nerded out about track for about 45 minutes. But I appreciate y'all for tuning in. Keep the NBA All-Star Game exactly how you guys have it. Wait, that's not what we talked about at the beginning of this. Well, I'm continuing it from the earlier podcast. Keep that. We'll catch y'all next week. Let's get out of here.
Yes, sir.